live from Chato Ortega's Cantina in Juarez, Mexico. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred, hard-hitting discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, sharp dresser, sharp shooter, world-renowned herpetologist, insurance magnate, and ladies' man, Gregory J. Ringhausen. Also featuring the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, the attorney the sheriff calls whenever there's a mad dog in town that needs to be shot, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest, and leastest, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the inventor of the non-returning boomerang, and a man who can put eye drops in his own eyes without any help, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Feels like you should be sitting around a campfire now, doesn't it?
Wow. Moseying along.
You know that eye drop thing's not as easy as it sounds.
No, can you put eye drops in?
It's very hard. I missed a couple times.
I got really good at that.
How you do it?
Someone has to hold me down and hold my eyes open like in Clockwork Orange.
No. You look at it.
You look right at it. That's you're right.
Yeah. You just face down your fears, Rick.
Exactly. Just
look at it.
Screw it. Yep.
Look at it.
Here it comes.
Wasn't that Clockwork Orange where they had like little clamps that held this guy's eyes open?
Little gold clamps.
His glazies.
Glazies.
I think is the
is
term.
That what it was. Yeah. And they put drops in his eyes.
Constantly.
Two of them. Yeah.
While they were conditioning him.
Yep.
Conditioning him.
Ludovico effect or Ludovico treatment, I think is what they were giving him. Okay. Your reference to being the guy that the sheriff calls to shoot the mad dog in town?
Why? The attorney.
The attorney is a reference to Kill a Mockingbird.
Kill a Mockingbird. When
Atticus Finch.
Yeah, Atticus Finch. When there was a mad dog coming up the street, only the sheriff would only trust Atticus to shoot that dog and not injure some bystander.
I can understand that.
That they would call me, you mean?
No.
Now they call the governor of Nevada.
No. South Dakota.
South Dakota. Sorry.
There you go.
What are you talking about?
that governor that admitted to shooting her own dog.
Because it's attacking animals.
Yeah, so.
A lot of people got upset with
just
that.
Just don't write it in a book. You know? It happens. Those things happen on a farm. You do it. You just do it. You walk away.
She also claimed that she had met with the leader.
Jesus?
No, the leader of
North Korea.
North Korea.
Yeah.
And she hasn't.
No.
Well, maybe she didn't kill that dog then. Back off.
No, she admitted to that.
She says she did do that.
You live a farm, you got to take care of things on the farm.
Things like this happen on a farm.
Yep.
So do you feel a strong connection with Atticus Finch, Rick?
Well, you mean, do I stand up for justice?
Scout.
Justice, yeah.
You know, the guy that played the spooky guy.
Boo Radley.
It was, what's his face?
Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall's first role.
Yeah.
In a movie. He was fresh out of Principia College
in
the same county.
No, you were about to say fresh out of prison.
No.
No, he just, yeah.
College.
He's
Robert Duvall went to Principia College in Jersey County, Illinois.
Yep.
One of the most notable, yeah. There's a few other stars that came out of that, too.
Well, not necessarily stars, but like the guys who
famous people
own and operate Smucker's Jelly. They're alum.
There's a few of them. You're right.
The guy in...
also, I think the guy who created the Air insole shoe, kind of like the Air...
Like Air Jordan?
Air Jordan, yeah. I mean, he didn't... Not necessarily the Air Jordan, but the concept of an air-infused insole was his, and he never actually signed a contract with a shoe manufacturer, but he spent all of his career defending his patent.
That's just like the guy that invented intermittent windshield wipers.
It just defends his patent and gets a cut from everybody that...
It took him years and years and years of fighting with... He spent, like, wrecked his marriage and spent his whole life fighting, trying to get acknowledgement. I think he finally got acknowledgement, like, when he was really old, after, like, 30 years of legal wrangling.
Wow. Okay. What's more important to you, your career or your wife?
They're one and the same.
That was a trick question.
Because that means that your wife does all the work?
Yeah.
That was a trick question.
Here goes the sump pump again.
What?
Just in time.
I can't hear you.
My feet were getting wet.
I can't hear you over that sump pump. What?
Speaking of meeting Jesus, I was down in Florida.
Okay.
Camping. Wife and I went camping in Florida.
Yeah?
State Park. Corishon State Park.
Oh, this is that kind of weird story of a state park.
So we go to this state park, Greg.
Greg, listen to this story.
I am.
Put your phone away and listen.
I was falling asleep, fellas, really. All right, let's see if you can put me in.
Corishon State Park is like a tropical paradise of a park. Okay. And it's right in the middle of the urban part of Florida. And you ask, how is it possible that there's this...
Wait a minute. What is the urban part of Florida? I mean,
that's Fort Myers and Cape Coral and Naples and all and Tampa. All the way from Tampa to the tip of Florida is all filled with condiments.
Chocolate helped keep you awake, Greg.
Coffee would, but no, that's good.
What, you mean during my story?
Yeah.
Attaboy. Anywho, so we're staying at this park, and one of the parts of the park is a historic village.
Oh, boy.
Well, it turns out that there was a guy in Chicago that gets, I don't know if he got hit by a streetcar or struck by lightning or whatever, but after he did, he was convinced that he was the next prophet in line after Jesus. And he decides to start his own religion, which was based on celibacy for everyone involved, and equality of women. So he had a lot of female followers, and they all moved to Florida to set up their own little town. But in addition to his own religion, which he was going to resurrect after he died and lead all the followers to Nirvana or whatever, he also came up with a cosmology that we live not on the outside surface of the Earth, but on the inside surface, and it just looks like the outside surface, and that the sun is like some mechanical thing in the sky. And he's got his followers, and they all have us.
How many followers did he have? More than five?
200 or so.
Okay. Are you kidding me?
No. They had a booming little town.
And they all believed this.
Well, I wonder about that, but in any event.
Okay, go on.
200, that's...
Yeah, it was a big town. They had a... everything you want, print and press, grocery store, I mean, the whole schmear, and all the people live there. The problem is that if your religion is based on celibacy for everyone, eventually you die off.
Well, right.
And they didn't really care because, you know, as soon as the leader died, he was going to resurrect and lead them all to heaven. So he dies, and they leave him out waiting to come back to life long enough that the Lee County, Florida Health Department came down and made him bury him.
Wow.
So he did not come back. And as the years went by, the...
celibacy went away.
Well, he didn't say when.
No, this was like 1900, 1910
no,
or so.
No, when he's coming back.
He was going to come back in just like 3 days.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay.
You know, when you come back from the dead, 3 days is the magic number.
Okay.
Anyway, 1950, 60, something like that. The last two or three of them were left alive in the commune. You know, because
still waiting,
celibacy will do that. So they decide to leave the whole acreage, like 200 acres of prime Florida ground, to the state of Florida to set up a state park. And the only condition is that the state of Florida has to maintain this historic village to this crackpot. And the state of Florida does it. They manage this thing. They've got all the buildings.
When you say the historic, I mean, were they grass huts like Gilligan's Island, or were they stone buildings or log cabins or what?
No, they're just like clapboard buildings like you'd see in any small town in America.
Okay.
Imagine if you took let's say Otterville, and tore down two-thirds of the buildings or three-fourths of them.
I thought they already were.
And just left the like four or five of the wood-standing buildings, and all, but all the streets are still there. And that's Khorasan Village.
Okay.
Hmm.
But right next to Khorasan Village, on the 200 acres of unspoiled land, is one of the most beautiful state parks you've ever been.
You know, this leads to some other questions. You know, like, say you had your little town of, like, 200 people, and there were no children because, you know...
Nobody's having sex.
Celibate.
They're all celibate, so there were no children coming on to replace the elders that were slowly dying off. I would think that, you know, the conditions of the streets would be going down, and, you know, like, if the guy that runs the grocery store dies and it goes away, or if they have somebody that provides water for the town, you know, like, services are really going to go downhill.
Well, I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that happened. That's why the last two or three of them said, well, you guys are going to have to take over and maintain this. But the other part of the gig was that they got to stay, live in that house until they died.
Okay.
And then it went to the state.
Like a life estate.
Yeah.
All right. And was there money that came with this to take care of the park, or that's on the taxpayers now?
Taxpayers.
Wait a minute. There aren't any of those in Florida.
Oh, yes, there are. They just come across the state line and call themselves tourists. Oh,
okay.
And they pay a whole bunch of tax.
Gotcha.
Thanks, babe. We went kayaking. Yeah, a little river that runs up through this.
Take your own kayaks, or
yeah, we took an inflatable kayak. You know, it's
interesting. Yeah, an inflatable kayak in an alligator infested.
And it was an alligator infested river.
I got a text from you.
Some
yeah.
old guy's sitting there on the bank fishing. He says, "Well,
one
he
arm.
Says,
you guys must not be from Florida."
He says, "That's inflatable camper, huh?" Well, says, I'll just tell you right now, it's mating season for them alligators. They're kind of. You
frisky.
Know, he says, you don't want to go up past the old railroad bridge. So immediately, I'm like, well, let's go up by the old railroad bridge and see what sort of activity is going on up there. Nothing. There's a few alligators. They're just in the water, you know, poking their eyes out, looking at you. She
see, that's the scariest part for me. If they're on the bank, that's one thing when you're kayaking. But they're, you know, they could upset that kayak pretty dang quick.
They could, but they didn't. You know,
obviously.
And you know, you read the guidebooks, and it pretty much says, you leave the alligators alone, they leave you alone. They're not
but
looking
there's
to
that
eat,
always...
They're not looking to eat kayaks.
Did you stop by the manatee diner?
No, but I saw manatees in that river, too. And they seem to get along okay with the alligators.
The water cow?
Yeah. Yeah, they look like big blobs floating around.
Yeah. But what I don't understand is why the alligators don't eat manatees.
You would think so.
I mean, it seems like an easy meal, man.
Exactly.
And last a long time, be filling.
Oh, God, yeah.
You kill one big manatee.
Or you could feast forever.
Yeah, but they're protected.
Yeah, but from alligators?
Well, alligators have to obey the law, too.
Yeah, right.
See any giant pythons?
No, I did not. Saw dolphins. Saw dolphins in the ocean. Not real dolphins, porpoises.
Okay. That's a pretty common thing, though, isn't it?
It is. But that you couldn't ride on them or nothing.
Not like Flipper.
No.
Hmm. Interesting week you had down there, Rick.
Yeah, it really was, other than that someone sideswiped my camper in a parking lot.
Oh, man. Did they leave a note?
No. Yeah, the note said, "Hi, I hit your camper. I'm sorry. Everyone thinks I'm leaving you my name and number."
That's
but
exactly
I'm not.
What they're doing. Yeah.
And stuck it on your window.
Yep.
Later, sucker. Don't they have cameras at those rest stops that you could have, you know, looked up the information and gotten that?
I don't know which rest stop where it happened.
Oh, okay.
Or at least you didn't check it out as yet.
And you're just SOL. Then,
no, I am SOL. We camped in Georgia on the way down, and the camper was fine. And then when I set up in Florida, it's got a big crack in the ceiling. I'm like, well, that doesn't look right. And then when I go to pack the camper up, I can see that it's been sideswiped.
Hmm.
So I have to call my insurance agent on the way home.
You sure that didn't happen when you fell asleep on the road?
I'm a truck driver. I've driven thousands of miles as a truck driver. I don't fall asleep behind the wheel.
I did. I got in a lot of good naps behind the wheel.
There's a few nights that, yeah.
That's why you take someone else along to drive with you.
Did I ever tell you that story? I took a former classmate of mine down to, taking a load of apples down.
They don't
to,
say his name.
To down to Louisville.
What was that guy's name? Don't say that guy's name.
I'm not going to say the guy's name.
Down to Louisville?
Down to, you're taking a load down to Louisville, and you know, like, I had tried to find, you know, somebody to go with me.
Somebody and, responsible.
And this guy was kind of a last choice, and I'm driving and I'm thinking, okay, I'll drive all the way. I'll just drive all the way. I won't have to worry about him, you know, taking over driving. And I couldn't make it. You know, like I'm down in, you know, like the last part of Indiana.
Jeffersonville.
And I just couldn't make it anymore. Finally, I pull over and I say, you're going to
have to. Said to this guy.
You're going to have to take over. You know, sitting on the side of the road, you know, the engine's still running. And I just couldn't take it anymore. So, you know, it was one of these trucks that it was open under the seat. You know, so I crawled under there and he said, now, you're sure you're okay? He said, yeah. He said, I'm just going to finish my soda, and then I'm going to take off. And I fell asleep immediately. And I wake up, you know, the truck's humming. And I feel we're not moving. And I wake up and look over, and he fell asleep there behind the steering wheel with the truck right, and we never moved an inch.
Wow.
He just sat up behind the wheel and fell asleep.
Yep. Right there on the spot.
Well, I'm guessing you missed the deadline for dropping the fruit off.
Yeah, pretty much.
What is that? You had to be there by 5 o'clock or something?
Like 1 in the morning.
1 in the morning, yeah.
Like they only worked at night.
Well, that's, yeah.
Well, you know what the gig is with that?
They got to get to the market.
You had to get them there because the buyers for all the little grocery stores in the city would come in early to get fresh fruit in the store for the day. So exactly. You had to have your fruit there by like 1 o'clock if you wanted to sell.
So I would leave. Well, I get to work the whole.
Is that bothering you?
Yeah, stop it.
I would get to work the whole day at the orchard about, and then leave at 3 o'clock to drive to Louisville. Unload it. Of course, they didn't unload the truck.
You see what that is right there?
I know.
That's world's smallest violin.
I know.
You're
breaking my heart. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you what you guys went through as well as I did.
Yeah, my recollection
and is. And you're probably driving a like, worse truck.
No, I had the van. I had the white truck. That was a good. That
the
was
white
nice,
truck was a good truck.
It was a nice
yeah,
truck.
It was kind of a snub-nosed truck. You mean that one? Yeah, I like driving that truck.
That was good. But when the battery died, was after I unloaded the apples. So I called the place and they came out.
And this is in the day. There's no cell phones. No, so you've got to find a phone.
I did.
And let someone.
Try to explain
talk
where,
someone and let
try to
use
explain
it.
Where you're really at.
And you, hope that who you're calling is awake.
Yeah. So when we get there, we get the battery compartment open in the truck, and there's a vice grip holding on the wire to the positive side.
Oh, well. The vice grip needs to be repositioned.
And the guy looks at me like,
where are you from, boy?
So,
was the vice grip touching a piece of metal and shorted out the
battery? No, it actually jumped it right then and there. No problem.
You know, it was like 5 hour drive. So 1 o'clock in the morning, you get home about what? 6 o'clock
or seven.
So.
Yeah. So
Dad and Casey would assume that
you're supposed
go
to be there.
You're going to work.
Exactly.
Then, you know,
yeah.
You know, cause you've been out having fun all night.
Yeah.
That was a given.
That you go to work the next day.
Well, all right, you can go in and sleep until 9, and then come back out and pick fruit.
All right.
That's your leisure time.
Oh, here.
But you got to admit, you were dying to drive that truck down there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, what, were you 16? 17?
No, I was 18.
18?
Yeah. Okay. 16, and they give you the keys to a big truck and say, drive to the most dangerous part of the city in the middle of the night.
And the only instruction I got, cross the bridge and look for these blue lights at the airport.
Yeah.
And make a left.
That's Kansas City.
It was Louisville. This is a different one.
Good commercial.
Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Dr. Ferd's Super High Compression Pogo Sticks.
Ooh.
Are you looking for a form of transportation that's good for the environment, saves you money, and lets you feel the wind in your face while you travel? Look no further. Only the Pogo Stick still checks all those boxes. Not just any Pogo Stick. Dr. Ferd's Super High Compression Pogo Stick. That's right. Pogo Sticks aren't just for kids anymore. Dr. Ferd has reinvented the Pogo Stick for the modern, middle-aged, slightly overweight adult commuter. With extruding cylinders made at T6 aircraft titanium, argon gas-filled nylon pistons, and the micro honeycomb compression technology, traction pegs with anti-slip neoprene coating, and a stainless steel GRA slide shaft, you'll be jumping back into the fast lane before you know it. And the Deluxe XL models come with a built-in cup holder so you can enjoy your favorite hot beverage on the way to work, just like you do in your car. And are those pogo sticks safe? Safe! They're exactly like the ones NASA provides to their astronauts, but at half the cost. So don't wait. Get your super hot compression pogo stick today. Dr. Ferd is a proud sponsor of the United States Olympic pogo stick team.
Hey, Uncle Ferd.
Olympics are on here in just a couple weeks, aren't they?
August, yeah.
Whoa. Let's get back to this pogo stick thing. Have you seen like these YouTube videos of these guys that are using these super high compression pogo sticks, and they like
jump off a real tall building?
Not jump off a real tall building, but they'll get to where they're jumping high enough, and they'll do like flips and stuff, and land back on that stick.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Oh, it's darn impressive.
These guys had to have some concussions along the way trying to practice on that stuff.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know that there was actually a gas powered, you know, it's got like a little miniature combustion engine pogo stick at one point in time?
Oh, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they outlawed them.
I'm wondering why.
Everything fun
is outlawed.
Exactly.
Went away at the same time as lawn jarts.
Lawn jarts were great.
They really were.
It just took a little bit of responsibility.
So, you know, watch out.
And really, truth be told, how many kids were actually killed with lawn jarts?
Just a few.
But out of millions, you know.
I don't know.
Just takes one, Rick.
Here's what the problem
was. Okay, should you outlaw an entire line of products just because one person gets killed?
Well, you know, when they design these things, they take into consideration how much they're going to have to pay.
That's right.
You know, or how many responsible deaths that you're going to be taken into.
Here, we're hearing some insurance secrets here now.
Do you remember when you could buy a science lab? You know, with all the little chemicals.
Yeah, we had a chemistry kit.
Chemistry kit, that's right.
Yeah, we had one.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, they
were. We loved the sulfur.
And sooner or later, you took a tablespoon of everything and mixed them all together to see what
would drink
happen.
Here, drink it, Tim.
Let's see what this does. My God, who knows what was in the chemistry sets of old.
I know.
There was some
pretty soon you just threw
there.
The book away and just mixed your own.
Yeah.
Just see what you
and
get.
And you could also get those various different things. Those, like, they were like little electronic ovens, and you can make little plastic molds and incredible edibles. Remember those?
Yeah.
But they were just like a hot plate you gave to your kid.
Like an Easy Bake Oven.
Well, Easy Bake Oven was just a
light bulb.
Was all that is. But these things you plugged in, it had like a hot element in it.
See, we never had sisters, so I never got to eat cake from an Easy Bake Oven.
From an Easy Bake Oven?
We didn't have that. Drink? No, we never.
So, yeah, two brothers.
There was that episode of Seinfeld where
Elaine made cake with Easy Bake Oven.
Right. She got to play while they would get the Jerry Seinfeld's girlfriend drunk and
play with her toys.
She'd pass out and they'd get out play, you know, the Mr. It. Potato Head and the Easy Bake Oven and Stretch Armstrong and all those different things like that.
Stretch Armstrong.
I'm trying to think. I don't know. What dangerous toys did we have?
I guess Stretch Armstrong, they took him off the market, didn't they?
Why don't they didn't take him off the market, did they?
Yeah.
They took him off because he wasn't any fun.
No, they took him off because he was full of some goo that would come out of him.
Oh, gotcha. Right?
Okay. Click clacks, they took away those.
Yeah, it was because they explode.
Did they ever really explode?
That's what I wonder. This is what I wonder about lawn jarts, too. Was someone actually killed with them, or did just...
I mean, the problem with lawn jarts was, you know, the game, you had these two circles you'd lay out in the yard, and you'd throw your darts. But the problem were the idiots that were playing with them were standing at the opposite ends instead of, you know, you'd throw from one end and then walk to the other. And
you
then,
know, I wonder how
you
much...
weren't actually throwing at somebody standing there waiting.
I wonder how much alcohol had to play in somebody getting hurt as well.
And that? I think the other issue they ran into was that, you know, they worked well if your lawn was soft and it had rained recently. But if it was dry and hard, they didn't stick unless you sharpened them.
You were sharpening your yard darts?
With a grinder.
That ain't right.
That's probably where in the trouble came to be.
I don't see where, you know, like a set of yard darts were any more dangerous than croquet. Where you got, you know, wooden balls that could hit you, or somebody getting mad and throwing a mallet or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, we had that happen, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, that happened once in a while.
You're not supposed to talk about that, are we?
We don't ever talk about croquet at the farm anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
We'd be breaking.
Three children have died, according to what my research shows.
Out of 350 million inhabitants of United States of America, only three have died?
Through the years, yeah.
So how does that equate in actuarial tables?
That everyone else has to lose fun.
The most common injuries are from the head.
I mean, if they went by those stats, we'd have to get rid of cars, wouldn't we?
54%, eye 17%, and face 11%.
We make a conscious decision as a society to accept a certain amount of death in order to drive.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Rick, you don't have to explain that to this man. Oh, wait, you know, I got to go backward here a little bit. Going back to our intro, Greg has gone from being a man's man to a woman's man.
Ladies' man.
Okay, ladies' man, sorry.
Yeah, how can you... Isn't it interesting that you can be both a man's man and a lady's man?
Yeah, I got a feeling this. I was hoping you missed that, Allie, really, to be honest with you. Because you looked up really quick when you said that. And I thought, oh, this isn't good.
Did I overreact?
Oh, yeah. Greg, so I knew I was going to pay for that in a little bit.
Both
yeah.
A man's man and a lady's man.
So what are the gender opposites of those two things?
What do you mean?
A woman's, she's a real woman's woman.
Yeah, you don't hear that term.
No.
A woman's woman, she's a woman's woman. But he can be a man's man.
And she's a man's woman.
Yeah, that's like an old Western. Oh, she's a man's woman. What is that?
I can't see any good coming of this.
No. Let's just throw that one away. Yeah.
Okay. Greg, it's okay.
Thank you.
It's okay if you're a man's man and a woman's man.
Okay. It kind of scares me with the man's man thing, though.
Yeah, but you know.
But he's one woman man.
Yeah. That's true.
That's because none other one have him.
That's right.
Ooh, that hurt. See, I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming.
No other woman would have him. That's right. I didn't mean to agree with that so quickly, yeah, Greg.
That's all right.
Maybe you had had a lot of girlfriends.
No, not really.
As you were growing up.
No, no one thought that.
No.
No one ever thought that?
Todd, look at him.
You don't know.
Do you have any other girlfriends other than...
My wife? Yes.
Okay.
A few.
Do they all hate you now?
Oh, yeah, they did. They did then.
I don't think they even remember me. Yeah.
Were any of them crazy?
Huh?
Were any of them crazy?
No, crazy.
Your brothers don't talk. Remember when Greg was here dating that crazy woman?
Oh, man.
No,
that would have been funny if he'd married her.
Jeez.
Can you
That's
imagine,
the one I married.
Can you imagine Christmases if he'd married that crazy woman?
Wow.
Of course, that's what his in-laws say about him now.
Why did Jesus, at least marry that crazy guy?
Wow.
We told her to stay away from the Ringhausens.
Lord. Isn't it time to quit here yet?
You know, I was at a meeting with a guy the other day, and he said that...
Was he a man's man?
Well, I don't know, but he said that in the county where he lived, there were over 500 people with the same last name as him. And it wasn't, you know, like wasn't like he was a Smith or a Jones or a Wilson. I mean, it was an unusual name. They said he had 500 relatives in that county, all with the same last name.
Well, I believe that.
Yeah, it can happen.
When I met Suzanne.
That seems like a lot.
She's an Italian.
Couple large families.
Suzanne is Italian from Boston, you know.
Yeah.
And she agreed to marry me. And her family's like, so we're gonna call
it an extortion thing?
We're gonna have to call you Suzanne Ringhausen. I said, Suzanne, it's like Smith back home. There's a lot of Ringhausens. You know, Calhoun, it used to be infested with Ringhausens.
Not quite.
It's not as many anymore, but there used to be a lot of them.
When you say infested, they've exterminated a lot of them now. Infestation.
A lot of them died off. Yeah.
But it was a common name.
For that community, yeah.
I never thought it was strange. You go up to Greene County, there's what, Schneckuckies and Clark and Campbell's.
In our neck of the woods, you know, it was highly German background. Like in my class in grade school, there was nobody's name that ended in a vowel.
Yeah, and Suzanne's school where she was at, they were half Italian, half Irish. So everybody's name either started with a vowel like O'Malley or O'Toole or ended with one like Palladino or Castellano or whatever.
Right.
Didn't have that.
Ours was like a Nazi roll call.
It was a monoculture where we were at.
Monoculture.
Except all of our Germans were here before the war, so they were not Nazis.
I mean, let me be clear, there were men and women. Where?
Alan, hairs and frows. Frauringhausen, Herringhausen.
We're out of time.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Adios.
Willkommen. Oh, that's welcome.
Yeah.
Bienvenue. That's also welcome, isn't it? It's all from Cabaret.
You've been watching Cabaret again, Rick?
I'm a woman's man.
No, man's
ladies
man.
Ladies man.
No. Okay.
See you later.
Auf Wiedersehen from Rick Ringhausen.
Greg Gator.
And Alligator Ringhausen.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. With that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Auf Wiedersehen.